Welcome to Voices of the Body, a podcast where we explore the intricate connection between mind, body, and spirit as we dive into the world of healing, advocacy, alchemy, and purpose. Our bodies are vessels of wisdom, carrying stories of our experiences, our joys, and our sorrows. Together, we'll uncover the power within ourselves and our communities to heal, to advocate, to transform, and to live with and on purpose. Join us on this journey of self-discovery and empowerment. Let's unlock the voices of our bodies. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Voices of the Body, the podcast. My name is Love Ashley Elaine, and I'm going to be your guide as we journey through this big, beautiful thing called life. So, because podcasting is not for the weak at heart, had to re-record this intro, but it's fine. It's fine. You will hear me introduce this podcast as something completely different when we hop into today's topic. I am in a rebirth, which means a rebrand, and I love it. Everything is synchronized, and next month I will fully introduce this podcast as the Soul Work Podcast. So you'll still get the same notifications. You'll just have to be like, wait, what? It's not Voices of the Body anymore. It is the Soul Work Podcast. This particular episode, we are talking about what is it like to actually take back your power and control to end the cycle of abusive relationships. Ending those abusive cycles can feel daunting, can feel hard. Sometimes you don't even know that you are in them things, right? Until you get tired of feeling the way you feel, until you get around the right people, until you actually get the help that you need. Talking to a mental health professional, just you get to a place where you start to ask yourself, is this it? We've already broken down the power and control wheel this month, so let's go ahead and tap into what it's like to take back our power and control. So prepare your mind, body, and soul. Even get you a cup of tea as we get into this episode. Hello, my divine, beautiful souls. My name is Love Ashley Lane, and I'm the owner of not just this podcast, but a business named AEI Studios. If you're a high-achieving woman who's feeling disconnected from your true self, seeking healing, or needing clarity and direction, I have something so special for you. Join us for an exclusive one-day retreat called Faith and Vision on December 7th. This is a very transformative experience that is designed to help you restore your vision, connect to your intuition, and realign you with your soul's purpose. So just imagine spending a whole day in a supportive environment with like-minded women, engaging in some vision coaching. We're going to share some really practical tools on just creating that internal vision board, right? We're not going to do the cutting out of pictures and all of that. We want to get real practical with how we create our life's purpose, or how we step into it, how we really create the life that we keep seeing flash in our mind, right? We're going to do some restorative and yin yoga, some guided meditations, and really connect with other like-minded women. The goal here is to really restore your vision, restore your connection to your intuition, and just invite in some beautiful holistic healing, some beautiful community, and some really good, juicy information on really tapping into your vision. What does that look like? What is your vision for your life? What is your vision for your soul business? Whether you're navigating life challenges, seeking some holistic healing, or deepening your spiritual practices, faith and vision is the perfect space for you. I will say spaces are limited. So to ensure that you are a part of this intimate and very personalized experience, make sure you drop into the show notes, click on that link, and go ahead and register today. We are requiring some questions that need to be answered and a Zoom call with me one-on-one, just to make sure that we're a great fit, okay? I don't want anybody there that's not ready or feels intimidated, or, you know, we want to make sure that the room is filled with really good people, really like-minded people, and people, women, yes, that are moving in the same direction, on the same path, and ready to do the work. There are only 10 spots, so I would jump on this quickly. If this resonates with you, like I said, go into the show notes, complete the questionnaire on the next page and schedule your chat with me. I cannot wait to share this transformative journey with you. I will see you on December 7th. Welcome back to, or welcome to, the Soul Work Podcast. Yes, I know I said next week, next month, I would be really revealing and launching. I'm transitioning, right? I'm ready to just get this thing going because this is what I do. This is what this is all about. This is what everything I've been doing is connected to. It's connecting to our soul work. We are talking about what it looks like when we take back our power and control to heal from abusive relationships. So as you know, if you've been following me for some years now, especially when I started Voices of the Body, the podcast, I started it because I was healing from abuse. I was in an abusive relationship, with a person that I love. Let me make this clear, right? You cannot help who you love. At some point, you have to choose you. We just gonna leave that there. Yes. Also healing from a miscarriage. And my journey has been really coming back to my voice, really being able to advocate for myself, really being able to know that what I have to say matters, that I am important, not just to other people or trying to make other people feel like I'm important or get them to believe that I am important, right? Or people pleasing my way into, how can I make this person love me? How can I make this person see me as worthy, right? And what I've been uncovering in my healing journey is that I've been in abusive relationships, but not knowing that they are abusive, because a lot of them were not physical, right? This year has been long as shit, but this year has been the year where I transform two things: how I show up in relationship. Well, three things: how I show up in relationship, how I want my relationships to feel, not look, right? How I want them to feel. Because if we're thinking about how we want our relationships to look, we're looking at the couples on the gram, we're looking at the friendships on the gram, and that's a whole nother conversation, right? Friendships. But how I want them to feel, and taking back my power and control, which was a lot of me saying that I do not want to stay in a victim space. I do not want to stay in a victim mentality. I do not want to stay in a position where somebody can tell me, through their actions, of course, right? Because nobody's just going to come out and say, I'm overpowering you, I'm going to take control of you. The boldness and audacity if they do. But I had to choose that I no longer wanted people in my life that were going to make me feel less than, that were going to make me feel unworthy, that had the unmitigated goal to feel like they could put their hands on me, that gave them permission
to feel like they could talk to me any kind of way, that they could demean me, that they could gaslight me, that they could manipulate me, that they could do anything to me that was outside of the truth of who I know I am and the truth of how I show up, the intention behind how I show up, right? So a lot of the work that I've been doing this year in therapy has been centered around, how do I end this cycle of abuse? How do I come out of it? How do I make it stop, right? And asking that question, right? We always, like, I say this all the time. I've always said to my son, when he says, "Mommy, can I ask you a question?" I'm like, "Of course." When you ask a question, that means the student has shown up and the teacher is ready to appear. So sometimes we know the answer, but we need the right people around us, the right coach, the right therapist, the right person around us to help us unpack that question, right? And the last few, actually like the last month, I've been in a really good space of what boundary setting looks like, right? What no means to me. What am I saying no to? Not so much why am I saying no to it, but why am I saying no to it, right? And allowing myself to really engage in what is going to make me feel whole. What is going to allow me to stay in my true and authentic self? Who is going to be that person or those that group of people that allow me to never question who I am once I'm in their presence, and that never question who they are when they step into my presence? Right? I don't want people in my life that, when we're in each other's presence, they begin to feel small, right? And that has nothing to do with me, right? Somebody else feeling small in my presence has nothing to do with me. I also do not want to feel like I have to shrink who I am when I step in the room, when I am around certain people, when I'm having certain conversations, when I'm sharing, when I'm, hell, in a group chat, right? So this year has been a lot of, well, let's keep it a buck. The last 3 years has been a lot of transforming my relationships. Because we forget that community is how we also heal. Community helps us survive. Community helps us thrive. So when we don't have the right community around us, it keeps us stuck. It keeps us stagnant. It keeps us in a place of not growing, right? So ending this cycle of abuse meant that I really had to look at not what is my fault, right? Because, and that will be another recording, the whole self-blame thing, right? But what do I actually have control of, and how do I want to live my life? I don't want to live my life constantly in a battle and fighting, right? There are some things that we just can't avoid that are meant for our growth, right? And there's cycles that we have control over ending. So that meant a lot of me really being honest about my own behavior, right? Is this in alignment with who I believe I am, right? I do believe that at some point we have to identify as a victim when we're moving through or coming out of abusive relationships, because it helps us make reality of the power, the imbalance of the power and control that is happening, right? So yes to owning in this moment, in this season, I have been the victim, period. Moving forward, I want to be victorious. I want to move forward in a way where I don't gaslight myself into, oh, well, I was just being dramatic because somebody else said that I was. I'm not going to gaslight myself into believing that I was just being dramatic, that reality didn't happen. Everything is my fault. Why didn't I do this right? Why didn't I do that right? Right? Where, no, this really did happen, right? This abuse did happen. And I want to transmute it and I want to take my power back, right? So when we talk about moving forward and ending this cycle, there were just three things that I like, three topics that I wanted to kind of move through that I felt like was very appropriate for like moving out of the cycle and creating a new one, right? And it's like within its own cycle. Excuse me. All right. So first and foremost, we have to be able to recognize what is happening, right? It's this level of self-awareness. It's this level of awareness of what is happening around me that is doing something within me, right? By identifying when this person reacts this way, it makes me feel what, right? Coming back into that somatic body, coming back into our inner self, right? Because whatever is happening internally also happens externally. And there's like the cause and effect thing that happened. So when we're able to recognize, okay, this person is trying to gaslight me, this person is trying to manipulate me, this person is trying to make me feel X, Y, and Z, right? When we're able to recognize the behaviors of someone else, we can then we then become aware of how their behaviors are affecting us, right? And then it turns into how their behaviors are trying to affect us, what they're trying to do. Where we gain control is coming back home to ourselves, right? Coming back into awareness of ourselves, coming back into, okay, I'm starting to feel X, Y, and Z, right? And it happens when this person says, you're dumb, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're unworthy, like all of these things, right? So then that's when we combat the enemy and tell ourselves, I am worthy. I am smart. I am beautiful. I am the head and not the tail, right? I am worthy of something greater than this, right? Start coming back to ourselves. Start speaking differently to ourselves, right? Another thing is really being able to come back into our body and do that breath work, right? Because we have to remember a lot of those experiences, they do something very visceral to our nervous system, right? I can recall now, even in my body, like certain things that were said to me that make my stomach hurt, right? So when I think about it, sometimes it's not as grand, right? And we have to be patient with ourselves. This is not an overnight thing. Again, I've been intentionally in therapy doing the work since 2017. So literally since I turned 30, I've been in therapy since I was 30. I've been healing since I've been doing yoga since, like, I've been on a very intentional healing journey these last 7, almost 8 years. And a lot of things are starting, like a lot of things didn't start becoming uncovered until 2021. Right. So we have to give ourselves grace. We have to give ourselves, we have to be patient with ourselves. Nothing is going to change overnight. It's those very small steps of awareness and building and saying yes and like keep going, like keep crying, keep laughing, keep allowing things to essentially fall apart so that you can begin to have the clarity, right? The washing of what it is that you need to see, right? So coming back into our powers also, right? That example I just gave of when something happens in my body because somebody said that partner said X, Y, and Z to me, and I start combating that with affirmations that work for me, right? Also coming back to my breath, right? Sometimes our body wants us to respond so quickly, and it might not be an outward response. It might be an inward response, right? That inward response can be like starting the self-blame. That inward response could be like, oh, this person's right. I am stupid, right? It's going to take time for you to believe who you are again, right? Another thing is reclaiming our personal power through boundaries and really owning our self-worth. This is why in childhood, and this is the mom version of me speaking now, right? Because I can recall some very harsh words being said to me, right? And some unfavorable conversations about me from people that were meant to uplift me and encourage me and tell me the things that I needed to hear and treat me in a way that I needed to be treated so I didn't go out and look for it elsewhere. I was in the street. And so the mom in me now is coming out where I empower my son. Right. I tell him, you are handsome. You are one of God's favorites. You deserve above and beyond. You are smart. You are intelligent. You are talented. There's nothing on this earth that you cannot do. And the will and purpose that God has for you is going to be beyond your belief. And I promise you, you are gifted and chosen to accomplish it. Right. I tell him how much I love him. I tell him how much he is loved, not just by me, but the people around him. I tell him that he doesn't need to redefine himself just for the benefit of other people to like him. I tell him that his difference is what makes him divine. Right. There, we have to talk to ourselves that way. And some people, like for a while, even myself, it was just like, oh, like that feels a little weird. It felt weird because nobody has ever talked to me that way. Right? When we say talk to me nice, right? Gas me up a little bit, right? But I've had to learn to gas myself up. I've had to learn to take up space, right? And it's very interesting how synonymous me being ready to take up space and step fully into who I believe I am had to come with boundary setting, right? Because the more healing and self-work that I was doing on myself, the more self-worth I started to have. And the more I started to notice when I talk about my wins around certain people, I could feel they weren't really feeling it. Yeah, right. I go back to certain relationships where it's like, oh no, oh, they did say that and wanted me to be everything to them, but they didn't want to be anything for me. Right. They wanted to drain my cup to fill theirs. And now look, can't even call them if I need them. Right. So boundary setting is going to be very important. And it's very hard to set boundaries. I'm not even going to hold you. I'm not going to lie to you, right? We talk truth. We talk love. We talk healing because healing is hard. A lot of people don't do it because it's hard. It requires you to go deep, right? But boundary setting is important, right? Not answering the phone is a boundary. Cutting the conversation short is a boundary. Right. You have to know what your boundaries are because your boundaries are meant to protect you. They're not meant to protect other people. Essentially, they do protect other people, but boundaries also show you the truth of what that relationship, what that friendship, what that connection is. Right. Your boundaries are about you. They're not about anybody else. They're about setting space that allows you to stay in control of your emotional self, your emotional wealth, your mental wealth, your physical wealth, right? Your spiritual wealth, all of that. And once you start noticing whatever those patterns are, at some point, now it's like you see it. Now you have a choice to change it. That cycle can be going and going and going and going. And then all of a sudden you see something and the cycle is almost about to go. And it's like, nope, pause, boundary, right? So now you've set the tone for how things move. Now you get to recreate a new cycle, a new pattern, right? Keep validating you. Right. For me, it always comes back to how do I want the people in my life to make me feel, and how do I want to make the people in my life feel? And it's not very different than each other, right? What kind of relationships do you want to have? And envision that, embody that, be that person, start being that person. The only way we break the cycle is by setting boundaries, and we have to set the boundary with us first. So that means, like, just because, you know, like I said, it's hard to help who you love. And sometimes not everything is all bad. So you might have a lonely night where you're thinking about that person, right? And you may need to be reminded real quick. Nah, he keep putting his hands on you. Nah, he likes to gaslight you and tell you that you're dumb. And when he gets angry, make it that it was your fault and not take ownership of his anger. Nah, she likes to, like, play down what you share with her. So don't share that good news with her. Right? You have to do this. And boundary setting is going to feel mean. Like, very, it's going to feel like, oh my God, I don't want to be mean. No, you've been through enough. You've been through more than enough to sit here and allow yourself to keep being gaslighted, to keep being guilt tripped, to keep being isolated, right? To lose that autonomy that you are slowly starting to build, right? And then, last thing is building on empowerment and vision, right? Vision is one of those things where I love to talk about it, because when we're ready, the vision comes and we start moving through the reality, like the physical realm of what we need to do to attain that vision, right? It starts with meditation. It starts with, how can I start to embody and envision and feel and sense a different reality than the one that I'm in, right? Are you happy with your current reality? Let's be real. Are you enjoy your current reality? Let's be real. Like, let's have a real conversation. You love this person, and that's okay. But are you actually enjoying this partnership? It's never okay for your partner to hit you. It's never okay for your partner to belittle you, right? Your cup should be constantly flowing into one another. Nobody, like, and I know relationships have their things, and this was something else I had to learn, right? It's like, oh, well, relationships, they're not perfect. No, they're not perfect. But unperfect relationships doesn't mean that I have to allow myself to be hit. I have to allow myself to be belittled. I have to allow my emotions to be used against me. That's never going to be okay, right? I have a quote for you. Let's see where it is. I have a wall. Where is it? It is from Bell Hooks. Like, this year I've been reading. Ah, there it is. This year I'm still reading it. It's been one hell of a year. but I'm reading All About Love by bell hooks. And she says, love is the force that transforms and in, oh no, this is from The Alchemist. So excuse me for that. But from The Alchemist, love is the force that transforms and improves the soul of the world. Why would I not want to be with a person where it's constantly healing and rejuvenating to be around you, and vice versa, right? I want both of us to be able to feel the sunshine, right? Where is that quote? It's here, y'all. It's here. It must have flew off. But bell hooks talks about her definition of love, or the definition of like love from research and conversations that she had. And it's literally when you allow yourself to be the sacrifice, but not a sacrifice in helping someone else grow, helping someone else's soul grow. I need to find it now because that's going to drive me crazy. That is going to drive me crazy. Nope, that's a violent flame. All right. Well, I will share it in the show notes. But bell hooks talks about like that definition of love. And let's even like the Bible, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. Love is not, I'm gonna put my hands on you, right? Let's just keep it a buck. So really allowing yourself to envision, what does a healthy relationship look like? When I was in Cambodia last year, I met so many amazing people on the same path, right? Like, it was like the collective of people that I met. We were all just in this space of like deep healing, right? And there was a common thread, a relationship. It was a divorce. It was abuse. It was a relationship. And I remember talking to a friend, really amazing guy from London. And he asked me, he was like, what does a healthy relationship look like for you? And literally at that time, I could only see that a healthy relationship was safety, was me feeling safe. And it got to a point where like someone else would ask me that in conversation. And I was just I would say, you know what? Now this feels really basic for me to even say that the only thing that I believe a healthy relationship looks and feels like is safety. Like now I'm like almost embarrassed to have that be the only thing that I believe makes a healthy relationship, right? Which it should be foundational, right? But I wasn't taught that. So I had to give myself grace and remember that I wasn't taught that somewhere along the line it got lost, right? So fast forward almost a year later, my therapist and I have been really diving into what do I desire? What does a healthy relationship look and feel like for me, right? And again, I take the lookout because, and this could be me like thinking about, oh, they look happy, right? Because people can look happy, like relationship, like a couple can look happy and be miserable as I don't know what, right? Just because they got on matching sweatsuits does not mean they're happy. But really diving deep into when I close my eyes and I come into stillness and I begin to feel into my body of what, like, okay, so I do see like a person, like a figure of like, you know, a couple of, I see someone, but it's not a someone, right? Like no one that I know or can put my finger on. But when I come into stillness and I think about what I desire in a partnership, I go into what I actually feel, right? And sometimes it is the outward expression of joy, the outward expression of love, right? There's like food involved, right? And just take a moment to do that. When you come into stillness, when you have a moment to yourself and you begin to just envision a version of you in a life that you desire, or a life that you may not have been able to imagine for yourself once upon a time, right? Here's your permission to do that. What does that version of you feel like now, right? Not the now version of you, but the version of you that you're envisioning. Feel her, feel him, feel that version of you. And what does that version of you feel in a healthy relationship? And I'm not allowing the excuse of a toxic relationship being a version of someone's healthy. Really get real about what this partnership looks like for you. And even if that's not the space you're in, do it with your friend circle, because I've been doing it with my friend circle. How do I want my friendships to feel? When I sit here and close my eyes and I embody what my friendship circles feel like, do I feel taller and brighter and bigger and busting outside of this box? Right? Or do I feel small? Do I feel connected? Do I feel empowered? How are they also feeling? Just take a moment and embody that vision, right? What do these healthy people, healthy connections, right? Let's do that. Healthy connections feel like in your life. Envision that version of you with that friend circle, in that healthy partnership, in that healthy job with that healthy boss, right? Let's go. Let's be honest. Let's be real. What does it all feel like? And embody that. And when we allow ourselves to embody that, right? You've heard me talk about this before. It's frequency, right? I also want you to be patient with yourself, because your body is also trying to heal what it's gone through, right? So start with some just breath work. Start with coming back to your breath. Start with coming back to your body, right? And taking inventory of those triggers, taking inventory of what you're feeling. Right? Healing is hard. Healing is hard work, but it's worth it. It is so worth it. So worth it. Ah, nice big inhale and exhale. When we are ready, right? When the student appears, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So when we are truly ready to end this cycle of abuse, to end those relationships that are abusive. And remember, they're not always physical, right? Let's keep it a buck. They're not always physical. When we are actually ready, then we begin to invite in practices that are going to help us shift, right? Thought processes that are going to be different from the one that we've adopted, right? Removing the victim title to allow ourselves to feel something different, right? To feel victorious, to feel empowered, to feel deserving, to feel self-worth, to feel something other than what the enemy has told us, right? I believe this is not just my scripture for the year, but it's just my scripture to live by right? I've come that you may have life and that you have it more abundantly, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? All month long, we've been talking about how the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, John 10:10. So I wish abundance and love and healing and desire, just new vision, new power, new, oh my gosh. I pray this for all of you that are listening. I send you this love and this energy that all things are being restored for you, that that moment has hit where you've awakened to yourself and what you do deserve, and patiently allow God to move you out of this abusive cycle so that you can go and help someone else come out of theirs and really live in the abundance that is meant for you. We all have a purpose in this life, and we all have the audacity to live it, right? I love you all so much for free. Until next time, take care. Really quick, I wanted to take a moment to empathize and acknowledge how hard it is to actually leave an abusive relationship, especially when it's physical. What helped me in certain moments be able to come back to my power, come back to my truth, and work with the fear of what would happen if I speak my truth to this person who has already shown me pain, was working with my therapist, right? It was only my therapist, because I couldn't really talk to my family. I couldn't really talk to anybody at work. I was on leave. So I encourage you to find a mental health professional that will walk you through everything. A lot of what I share is the long journey of self-discovery and coming back home to my power, to realizing what I have control over. Even this year, in what I shared the beginning of the month, I still had to, my therapist helped me work through all of that. And this time was a little bit different because there wasn't isolation, like my abuser isolating themselves with me in this particular instance, but there was isolation. However, I say all this to say, and I wanted to come back on here after re-listening to the recording, I empathize with how hard it is to leave, how hard it is to come back into your power, how hard it is to surrender and say, I want to step into me. I want to step into my power. I want to leave. Please, 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 if you are not connected to a mental health provider that specializes in domestic violence, that is a big caveat to this. I dealing with the system, things are starting to become a little bit more
gray and a little bit more specific. So if you are able to get with an organization that specializes in therapeutic services for domestic violent survivors, right? Because I like to move us away from the victim space and help you walk through what it looks like to leave, what it looks like to get back into your power. Please, please do. This is a very intricate space, and there's so much more work that needs to be done. But I never want to come from a space where it's like, oh, I know what to do. You have to do what I say. No, because I'm very transparent and very vulnerable about the truth of what domestic violence looks like. And it's very hard to leave, especially when you're unaware of what is happening. So I'll say it again, get with a mental health provider, a really good therapist that specializes in domestic violence and trauma, and begin to also intertwine holistic healing into that. So yeah, I love you all. I want the best for you all. I want abundance for you all. I want you to come back home to the God-given version of you all. And I want it to be done safely and securely so that you can live in your abundance. Take care.